And welcome back to Coast. This hour, we'll take your phone calls with Kate Manzer as we talk about her work, You Might Die Tomorrow. Back in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast. George Norrie with you, back with Kate Manzer as we talk about her work, You Might Die Tomorrow. Fascinating work, Kate. What kind of reaction do you get?
Everything from that's so morbid to you could die today to really beautiful and profound stories of people when they realize this perspective to be a truth that has changed their life.
Are we a death phobic society?
We've certainly evolved towards that way. You know, we as humans tend to flee what we fear, and death is inherently scary, so we have hidden it away in many respects.
You attend Burning Man every once in a while. Tell me what you do there.
Absolutely. So I've gone for the past 5 years, and I found it to be a really beautiful experience. And I brought a huge 7-foot by 7-foot "You Might Die Tomorrow" sign out there.
Oh my God!
Years ago, and I just stuck it out there in the desert and saw people's reactions, and it was incredible. You know, I had people who would sit out on the desert floor and just stare at it for, you know, 20 or 30 minutes. People who would, you know, talk to one another about the stories of, you know, when they had a near-death experience and how it changed their perspective, or how their life changed after realizing the fragility of it.
You know what also I think helps in the living process, and that's helping other people. I think when you do that, your life has better meaning and more meaning.
You are so correct. And I think that we as humans reach out toward meaning in our life. There's this idea that was coined by a guy named Robert Lifton called symbolic immortality. Symbolic immortality is the idea that we know we can't live forever. So while we are alive, we strive to create symbolic immortality in our life through procreation, through donating organs, through experiencing nature, and towards meaningful pursuits, just like you said, helping others.
Well, let's go to the phones. Let's go to George in North Carolina to get things started. Hi, George. Go ahead.
Well, howdy, Georgie.
Hey there.
Miss Kate, it's a very interesting topic. My doctor gave me 6 months to live. Well, that was last month, so now I got 5 months to live. But during my open heart surgery, I had a near death experience. It was just so wonderful. I mean, the feelings are just beyond description.
You sound so upbeat, George. Did this with 5 months to go. I mean, do you want to share what the prognosis is?
Oh, well, I've got heart failure, and it's because of these heart stents. My body rejected the stents, and the scar tissue is starting to close them up.
Okay, that's right.
And the last three I had put in are 100% blocked, but my heart doctor said there's nothing else they could do. I had a triple bypass, and during that bypass is when I went into the afterlife, and it was just unbelievable. I mean, there's just no words. But I changed. After I came back, everything was more spiritual to me.
Are you afraid of dying, George?
No, sir. And, you know, I've got where I tell my guy friends I love them. You know, because I don't know. I live moment to moment, and I don't know when I'll see them again. So, and it's, you know, kind of awkward for them, but they've gotten used to it.
Okay, George sounds like he is doing it the right way.
What a beautiful perspective, George. How alive do you feel these days?
Oh, not very. I'm in chronic pain. They tried to put me on palliative care, but I turned that down. I told them I wasn't going to get addicted to morphine before I died. I'll just suffer with it.
How old are you, George?
I'm 64.
Oh, you're still young.
Yeah, well, I'm ready to go.
Keep fighting. Keep fighting.
I'm ready. I'm packed and ready for the train to Jordan. I tell you, I'm going to climb on board, and away she goes.
Call me from the other side, can you?
Yeah, I certainly will, George.
If we can work it out, let's give it a try, huh?
Right, we will. And I just want to tell you how much I appreciate you and your show and Tom and everybody. And Barry, he's my neighbor down the road. I could hit his house with a rock from here. But but I don't want to do that. I might hit him upside the head.
You might do that. That's true. Well, you stay strong, my friend. You're in our prayers.
Oh, well, thank you. God bless you all.
Thank you. Wow, that's something, Kate, huh?
It is, and to get to the point where he's living and loving openly despite having this terminal condition is really, really profound.
I mean, he's got 5 months, he claims. I don't know how a doctor can predict that. He could have 2 years. Who knows?
Exactly. And, you know, in this time, just like he said, he's ready to go. His bags are packed. He's telling the people that he loves them, and he's, you know, still kicking and enjoying life while he still can.
Let's go to Northport, Washington, west of the Rockies. Charlotte's with us on Coast to Coast. Hi, Charlotte. Go ahead.
Hi. I happen to be a deathbed survivor of a few times.
Good for you.
I know, right? I'm not trying to brag, but I used to be really reckless, and I had a really bad alcohol problem, and I've OD'd on alcohol, I think, 3 times when I was before 30 years old, and I'm 55 now, and I, you know, of course, I don't drink anymore like that, and my values have changed dramatically in how I live my life, and my life now is more around service to others. I mean, before myself, I'm so humble now, you know.
Makes you feel better, doesn't it?
Yes. I just can't do anything else. I'll, you know, practically work myself to the bone, you know, before I think of doing something for myself, you know. But besides that, thank you for having me on your show. I love your show. I listen to it every night.
Well, and, thank you.
This is a really good topic. The first time... I almost had a near-death experience. I was 10 years old, and we were taken off the roof on our house. And I remember we had the three-tier roofing, big piece of thing,
oh,
you know.
Oh, boy. Here we go. You fell, didn't you?
Well, no. It was a dual-level house, so it was pretty much up there, maybe, I guess, 30, 50 feet, something like that. And I was only 10, and we're just winging it off the side of the house, and I kind of went with it. And I was over the edge. I was going, and no one was looking. I remember looking around in slow motion, and something just put me back on the roof.
Wow. You mean like an angel scooped you up and brought you back?
Yes. And I don't remember if I told my brother or anybody, but, you know, it was just, you know, I knew what happened, you know, and it didn't matter to me that anyone else knew, you know what I mean? But, yeah, that was really special. Another time I got hit by a car, let's see, I was about 27 years old. And
Charlotte, you're like a cat with 9 lives.
Well, my initials spell C-A-T. I got hit by a car, and the year of the car and the way that it all happened was just so, it was just, there's no way it could have killed me, and I didn't think I was going to die, but I saw myself laying on the ground in the middle of this intersection at 5 o'clock traffic, and there's all these people around me, and I'm like, okay, don't touch me, just don't touch me, and someone touched my leg, and I went and I screamed. The next thing I knew, I was in the ambulance, and I'm talking to these guys, and I'm totally out of it, and I said, what happened? And they told me, and I said, well, what happened to all the people that were around me? And they go, there was no one around
you. Oh, my gosh.
Wow. Yeah, you were all by yourself in the middle of the intersection until the ambulance got there. And I was like, but wait, there's like 14 people around me. Isn't that something?
That's something. What do you think about angels, Katie?
Oh, my goodness. Well, I think in Charlotte's experience, we've had so many experiences where we feel that people are watching out for us and that the universe is organizing things in our favor. And the idea of the near-death experience shows us that, you know, we can go on or we can come back and continue our work here with our angels watching over us.
Let's go next to Diamond in New York. Welcome to the program. Hi, Diamond.
Hi, George. How are you? God bless you.
You too.
Thank you for taking my call. You know, it's I love your show this evening. I like all your shows. I listen every day. But the one before, I couldn't get through. It was too busy. And this wonderful lady that you have today, right now, it kind of goes together. In the first segment, when we were discussing fear, you know, this plague of carnivora and whatever, all these, coronavirus. I want to buy carnivora, but anyway.
It works.
Yes, that's how I'm going to get it. But anyway, I have really no fear of any plagues, and I'll say why. Because I am spiritual. I'm not religious, that I can go to any church, but God walks with me. He is with me. See, that's how I feel. So I go by Psalm 91. There it speaks of, if you abide under the shadow of his wing, okay, nothing is going to hurt you. Verse 7 particularly says, well, you'll see 1,000 die on your right side and 10,000 on your left side, but it shall not come near you, nigh thee. That's how it's, right? It's written. So the plagues will not touch you if you are walking in him in faith. So that's what I have to say about that. And as for death, I don't fear death, and I don't because I feel I have eternal life. I just have.
Did you ever fear death?
No, really. Honestly, I have to tell you the truth, no.
Interesting.
But I grew into the reason why I don't fear it, because I never knew why I didn't fear it. I didn't know then, but now I know why I don't fear it, because I'm a big observer, and I observe everything, nature and whatever. I'm like you, because we're both Gemini, so that's how we are. But anyway, all of creation, when you look at it, okay, a bird does what a bird is supposed to do. It is made this way, it has its ways, and it does its thing. We also do our thing. And all of nature, including plants, we recycle. We all recycle. There is eternal life in this world, though it is a fallen world, and we do the death that I know of, what Jesus speaks of, is not this death that people see, you know, like, you know, we pass away. We recycle, okay? So if a seed falls into the ground, Jesus says, you know, it unless it dies, it cannot sprout anything. So the seed has to die. So we're all like seed. A leaf falls off a tree. If it doesn't get swept up and it's left on the ground, it looks like it's decaying, but it's really refeeding the soil, fertilizing it, and so more things grow. So I don't fear death, and I don't fear anything because I'm with him. You know, and I just go with the flow. It's going with the flow, like a stream, right? A stream doesn't fight the rocks that it's hitting or bumping. It goes over or it goes around. Water just flows, and that's what my philosophy is.
How can you get more people to believe the way Diamond does, Kate?
I think that if we can remember, just like you said, Diamond, so beautifully, that we're all part of nature and that our life in the great span of time is short, and that we can find solace in the belief in an afterlife or the belief in a greater existence, that we can find some peace in the life that we have.
How do we learn from people who've had near-death experiences? Those of us who haven't had that, how do you learn from those people?
I think we can talk to people, and so many of us have survived near-death experiences. We may not have all seen the light and come back, but we've all had that time in our life when we know if things had gone just a little bit differently that we could be dead, and if we allow that to influence our perspective, I think we can all have the near-death perspective.
Let's go to Jeremy in North Dakota. Welcome to the program, Jeremy. Go ahead.
Hello, George and Kate.
Hi there.
Hi.
I want to tell you guys that for some reason I was saved over 16 years ago. I was in a terrible car accident. I was in a coma for 2.5 months.
Oh, my God.
Wow.
And when I was in the coma, the doctors projected I'd only live to be 32, and now I'm 44.
Good for you.
Wow.
When you were in that coma, Jeremy, do you recollect anything, any dreams or anything like that?
Yes, I was walking up a steep mountain trail, getting to the top, and when I was about, I'd say 100 meters from the top,
mm-hmm.
I heard a voice that says, Jeremy, return. You still have many things to do.
Wow.
And a bunch of rocks started falling, knocked me off the ledge, and I fell to the ground and woke up.
When you woke up, did you think that you had been out for 2.5 months?
Nope.
Felt like just a day, didn't it?
Yep.
Yeah, that's remarkable, albeit. You know, the man upstairs, Kate, works in strange ways, doesn't he?
It is.
Mysterious ways.
It is, and I'd be curious to understand, you know, after being in a coma for 2.5 months, you know, what is your new perspective on life?
Well, my new perspective is that I need to keep trying my hardest to live to be 220.
Go for it. That's the name of the game.
Absolutely, and enjoy all of those 220 years.
Back to the angels for a moment, Katie. Have you seen an angel? Have you had one help you?
I have not seen an angel, but I have absolutely had spirit experiences that have radically changed my life. In fact, I just had one just a couple of months ago where I felt that I was touched by an angel, and just like our caller Charlotte and Diamond earlier, that I realized that I wanted to live my life fully awake and gave up alcohol.
We should do a TV show called Touched by an Angel.
We should. I think there was one with from the 90s.
Jennifer Love, well. Right? Yeah. Let's go next to Steve in Los Angeles. Welcome to the program. Hi, Steven.
Hi, George. How are you today?
Great. Good to have you with us.
I have a question for you and my guest, but I'm going to tell you a quick story. So one of my best friends passed away 2 years ago from cancer, and he wasn't a religious guy, and we never talked about spirituality. And I was an atheist, agnostic type guy, so I really didn't have any beliefs or like that. So a friend of mine that I know for 20 years, she comes over and watches my pets, and I was going out of town, so she comes over, goes into my living room, she puts her keys on my fireplace, and all of a sudden she sits down. It was like she was going to have a stroke. And I looked at her, I go, you all right? And then she's like, she looked at me, she goes, your friend's soul went through me. And I said, what? And she goes, your friend John. And she didn't know John.
Wow.
And then she goes, are you wearing his shirt? And it was just a white shirt with a little label on the back. And I didn't realize I put it on, but I got some of his clothes when he died. And I said, yeah. And then she goes, he wants me to tell you, go to Brent's Deli and have a pastrami sandwich on me. And then I'm like, what? And I'm just like shaking. And then she goes, she just kind of like didn't say anything after that. And she was like, well, what keys do I use? And I'm like, did you see what just happened? And she's like, yeah. And I was just like stunned. And then she picks up her keys, and it was on the tin where John's ashes were.
Wow.
Oh, my goodness.
And it really shook me up a lot and, you know, made me start thinking differently. How could that even be possible? I mean, it's the most amazing story I've ever heard, and it happened to me. So
that's an admission in life after death. It exists, Katie.
And I have to know, did you get that pastrami sandwich?
I went by myself, though, and I thought of him the whole time, and I was kind of, like, nervous during the whole experience for dinner, too. And, I just think of him a lot, and it's just kind of odd. And, you know, my parents died, and I've had other close friends that passed away. I'm almost 60, and, you know, to get an experience like this with somebody that was so unexpected. But, you know, he was a young guy. He was only in his early 60s, and he died in 6 months from pancreatic cancer.
Jeez, what a dramatic story that is. We're going to come back and take final calls with Kate Manser in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back, George Norrie. Our final segment with Kate Manser. Her work is called You Might Die Tomorrow. What's your next work going to be, Katie?
How to Be Alive. It's going to be all about ways that we can cultivate that feeling of being alive in our everyday life.
So what do you tell someone who, you know, may be dying, maybe not, they're just sick? How do you acclimate them to the dying process?
Oh, my goodness. Well, I think that's best left to hospice and palliative care workers.
Do they do that?
I don't, but there's so many wonderful people. There's a growing movement towards people being more and more open to that kind of work. And, you know, they really, people just want to be connected with as humans, and they want to know that someone is thinking about them and that they'll be remembered after we die. And I think that's the best way that we can connect with anyone, living or on the deathbed.
Have you ever seen a situation where somebody is just so panicked about dying, they're out of control?
I haven't, but, you know, like I said, I lost that 1 year of my life to just living in total anxiety and fear about the possibility that I could die tomorrow. And, man, I wish I could change that year, but I can't. So what I do is I live for today now.
That must have been a bad year for you.
It was scary. It was scary. And I think a lot of listeners out there can identify with being afraid of death at a different point in our life.
But you came through it.
I came through, and I'm so happy to be alive every single day. I don't want to have another day where I crawl into bed and was so consumed with my to-do list and worrying about what other people think that I didn't even take one moment to say, you know what, hey, I'm alive, and I'm going to enjoy my life.
Let's go to Thelma in Indianapolis. Welcome to the program. Hi, Thelma. Good morning.
Good morning, Katie and George. I've looked forward to talking to you sometime. I've heard you many times before. I just want to invite everybody to know that when you wake up tomorrow, you are in a day that nobody has ever been into. We are beginning a brand new day, and we have a whole lot of things to do. And thinking forward, that we want to be encouraged to live each day, that will keep you busy enough that you don't have time to worry about dying.
I like that advice.
Okay, and our dust-to-dust theory comes when the fact that our mothers and fathers are people who eat products from that are grown. We are a product of their growing together, and we in turn repeat that thing. So we are dust-to-dust, but everything does melt down to dust. Even if it's a rock, no matter how long or how old it is, it may take longer, but a lot of different things do take longer to do.
How many people do you think, Katie, who do not believe in life after death, that's the main reason they're afraid of dying?
That because there's no life after death?
Because they think there's no life after death.
I think that can certainly contribute to a fear of dying, but, you know, just like Thelma said, this idea that we're all part of nature, it can help to ground us when life gets crazy and things are overwhelming, and whether or not we believe in the afterlife, which can absolutely be comforting, knowing that we're all going to end in dust helps us to take each day as it comes and not get too wrapped up in the craziness of it all.
Our first-time caller, Peggy, is with us in the state of Washington. Hi, Peg. Go ahead.
Hi, George. Good evening. And Kate, thank you for being with us tonight. On death and dying, I'm very intimate with the subject. I had 25 years experience as a residential care facility owner, and I liken death with birth. I've attended many home births. I had 5 children, and I attended many deaths and held the hands of many people dying. And birth and death feel exactly the same to me. And I think that which we experience is the gates of heaven opening up for us for a moment. And it creates those intense feelings. I also had a 103-year-old grandmother.
Wow.
And her, what she was thinking about when she was dying wasn't any regrets of hers in life, I can tell you that. She was thinking about the visions that she had been having through her final aging process. And she was thinking about the Chinese marching on us. She would grab my hand when she would have these visions, and she would say, "Look, dear, don't you see them out the window? The Chinese are marching. The Chinese are here. They're marching on us." So she had some very deep-seated fear about the Chinese marching on us that she saw repetitively at the end of her life.
Well, what they sent was the Wuhan virus. That's probably what she was seeing. You never know. How many people, Katie, at the moment of death are really hallucinating as opposed to seeing visions of things like that?
There's a lot of controversy on that topic of what is the near-death experience, and there's a lot of explanations from a lack of oxygen to the brain to religious explanations to, you know, it actually being hallucinations. And, you know, I think it's unproven, but, you know, we can listen to experiences like Peggy mentioned, and, you know, we can take them for what they are, and we can look and learn how people's perspective on life changes after a near-death experience.
Absolutely. Let's go to Gina Maria in the state of Washington. Welcome to the program. Hi, Gina.
Hello. Peace and love and God bless to everyone and everything.
Are people panicking out there with the coronavirus, or are things calm?
It's pretty calm so far.
I've been real sick myself,
so I wasn't sure. But anyhow, but I'm starting to do better.
Good.
So anyhow, I just wanted to tell, you know, I walk through life walking with God. So I figure that no matter if I'm here or if I'm on the other side, I'm cool because I'm hanging out with God no matter what in Jesus. So, I wanted to say that I had an experience where I came upon in the mountain roads these teenagers with a body in the truck. And at the time, I didn't know the guy was dead, but I tried saving him, and I wasn't fearful at all. I knew that these people had murdered him, and I still was trying to reach in the truck and grab a hold of him and sit him up because they were smashing his head with the door.
They murdered the guy?
They had murdered him, yeah.
Oh.
They were in prison, yeah. And I was actually stopped by, I was about to crawl through the guy's window to get to the, you know, guy and help him, and I was stopped by a voice that said, stop, stop, look down, look down. And peace and love absolutely filled my body. I actually had the driver pinned to the steering wheel, and I was going to climb through his back to reach the guy.
You're lucky they didn't do you in.
I know. But
my God.
Peace and love filled me, and it actually went through my hand and went through the guy who I had pinned to the steering wheel, the mastermind of this. And he looked back at me like, who are you? So what they wanted me to see was the gun with blood on it.
Right.
And
then then you'd realize, hightail out of there to be sure. Hey, Katie, the, building in Argentina that's been spray painted your logo. Tell me about that.
Well, that was, I think, a product of that big 7-foot by 7-foot art piece that I brought to Burning Man, and wouldn't you know, that same logo popped up in Argentina, and I had no hand in creating it, and that's what's so wonderful about the creation of this movement, You Might Die Tomorrow, is it's grown beyond my wildest dreams, and it's helped so many people around the world find the motivation to live today.
Eugene is in Fort Lauderdale, Florida. Welcome to the program, Eugene.
Good evening, and I have to say that there is no death. I've seen exactly what happens. I met a girl some time ago. We made a date for lunch. I went to pick her up a week later for lunch, and the guard at the gate said, you better call up and talk to the family. And I did, and they said, oh, she drowned. I said, well, where is she? She's in the hospital. I went over to the hospital. There were people around there praying and chanting, and she was on a respirator, going up and down. And I looked again, and I saw something like a halo, but not a halo. It was like sparklers, a white light all around her head.
Like an aura?
Like an aura. And I looked up to the ceiling, and in the ceiling, I could see her, and she was smiling. She was dressed. She was happy. She was dancing around. And she had been in a wheelchair for many, many years. And the only thing she ever wanted to do was to get out of that wheelchair.
Bam.
So I asked her, are you coming in back into your body? She said, I don't know. And then I rushed out to get something I thought might help her. And I've had various experiences. I don't believe in death. I have no fear of death. To me, there is no death. There's only transformation.
Well, you know, once you experience the things you went through, you begin to become immune to death, don't you, Katie?
Well, and what a beautiful perspective that he has, that there is no death. It's nothing to fear. It's just a transformation. It's part of life. And I think that is a wonderful way to reduce that fear so that we can live our best life.
Where do people get stickers of "You Might Die Tomorrow" if they want to put them all over the place?
Grab a sticker at youmightdietomorrow.com. Grab a book on Amazon. And I would love to hear about how this perspective affects your life.
And are you looking for more stories as well from people?
Always, always. I would love to hear stories of, you know, encounters with death. I would also love to hear stories for my next book about the times in your life when you feel most alive.
Can they email you through your website, or do you have a separate email you want to give out?
No, get in touch with me, Kate at youmightdietomorrow.com.
And spell it?
K-A-T-E at youmightdietomorrow.com.
Super. Thank you, Kate. It's great having you on the program. Great work, by the way, helping people just understand what it's like to be on the other side. For Michael Cosio, Tom Danheiser, Dan Galanti, Lisa Lyon, Lex Lonehood, Sean Latasseur, Stephanie Smith, Chris Burrows, Tim Banal, Ian Punnett, and George Knapp, I'm George Norrie, somewhere out there on Coast to Coast AM. We'll see you on our next edition. Until then, be safe, everyone.